Thank you. As she mentioned, I was her faculty chair of her research study. Kaylin was a graduate student of mine. And so I found out just this morning she won't be here. So I am going to do the best I can. She had a nice script to read from, which I don't have. So we'll go do the best I can. The name of our presentation, Centering Pregnancy and Traditional Prenatal Care, a Study of Women's Health Practices, was a study conducted very simply as a survey research and done at a particular clinic, and I'll get to that in a minute. But just kind of to set the stage, infant mortality, this just kind of begs the question and, kind of reinforces the necessity for effective prenatal care. Infant mortality in the U.S. is 6.84 per 1,000 live births. Neonatal mortality is 4.63 per 1,000 live births. The U.S. is ranked 25th among nations with populations greater than 2.5 million, of course. So we're not exactly leading the way, some of the primary causes of infant mortality is congenital abnormalities, premature birth, as well as low birth weight. Now contrast that with infant mortality without prenatal care, and you see it go up. It's 8.96 per 1,000 live births, and infant mortality with prenatal care, 6.2 per 1,000 live births. And so clearly a difference there. 84% of mothers with live deliveries receive early prenatal care. That's short of the Healthy People 2010 goal of 90%. So we've got some work to do. 80% of mothers received early and adequate prenatal care. And again, that Healthy People 2010 goal is 90%. So we're still shy of that by 10%. Well, what are the main functions of a prenatal care visit? Just very briefly, it's focused on three areas. Risk assessment. This is an opportunity during these visits with a healthcare provider is to assess the risks that this person might be facing. Look at various disease risks, lifestyle related risks, many of which are going to be directly tied to their own personal behavior, and then as well as the medical and psychosocial intervention that might take, any kind of treatment needs that that patient might have, as well as an excellent opportunity for health promotion. And that's my area of expertise, is really the health promotion aspect of any given situation. And some suggest that maybe that's the part of a visit. If there's a area that's needs some strengthening in terms of our typical prenatal care visit, it's the health promotion aspect. We do fairly well in those other areas. And prior research indicates that the amount of health promotion a woman receives in prenatal care is predictive of birth weight. And of course, birth weight being a major contributor to infant mortality, that's something we should be concerned with. And it's simply not sufficiently implemented in traditional prenatal care visits as it stands today. I mean, that, of course, you'll find places that do a really good job, but it's extremely variable. The typical one-on-one patient physician setting often doesn't lend itself to a lot of time spent on educating. The physician's expertise tends to lie in diagnosis and treatment, and risk assessment and so forth. And the focus in terms of time spent on educating the patient doesn't always become a high priority in those visits. Now, that's not to say that information isn't often conveyed, but that is an area that is typically, possibly takes a back seat in many situations. In light of those, of this situation, Sharon Rising in 1998 developed a group-centered program called Centering Pregnancy, which was focused on providing a group approach to prenatal care. Currently, this at least derivations of this particular approach are being implemented at 50 or more clinics nationwide. involving up to 700 clinician and interventionists. In this setting, the patient's assigned to meet routinely with a group of about 8 to 12 pregnant mothers after an initial prenatal appointment. So their first appointment, they get risk assessment, they get it's kind of a standard prenatal care situation. Then they typically are given a choice in many of these clinics whether to pursue a traditional prenatal care course in terms of in terms of the frequency of their visits, or do they want to participate in this new form. These centering pregnancy typically involves, in conjunction with the time spent with a healthcare provider at the beginning, a semi-private physical exam. They take their vitals. In fact, they in this group setting, they often they are educated themselves on how to take it on themselves often, and then they spend about a 90-minute period, which is a length, that's a golden opportunity, at least in my field. 90 minutes is a long time. You can get a lot done. 90-minute educational and group discussion facilitated by a social service professional. So that could involve a variety of different professions. But that time is really free, and it's actually directed to a large degree by that group, by the participants in that setting. And so as they meet on a routine basis, they may ask for example, more information on nutrition during pregnancy. Now there's kind of, it can kind of be a standard setup for certain topics to be approached and dealt with during that time, but it really is driven by the participants, and they are allowed a lot of time to ask questions, explore issues, share stories, and so forth. So it's a very, very group-oriented, interactive kind of a experience for the participants. In the literature, what we found is, in our research, we were able to determine that there has been studies that have demonstrated that those who participated in centering pregnancy showed greater knowledge of pregnancy as a whole, reported having greater social support, greater satisfaction with their entire pregnancy. They were more compliant with their healthcare recommendations. Preterm birth incidence was lower, lower incidence of lower birth weight. Neonatal death was lower rates. Satisfaction was greater with their care, higher breastfeeding rates, and their self-reported the adequacy of their prenatal care as reported by the participants was reported higher. In past research, there between traditional prenatal care and centering pregnancy, there were no differences in these areas listed on here. I'm going to have to kind of speed up so to get to our study. So in past research, we found fairly consistent evidence for centering pregnancy, and so and its benefits. We wanted to look at what we hadn't seen was really individual health practices, and we decided to look use a survey instrument to assess this with a group in a setting in a women's healthcare center in Madisonville, Kentucky. That particular clinic services a large proportion of Medicaid-funded care, and so tends to be a lower socioeconomic group, but it wasn't restricted to that, and you'll see our sample demographics in a moment. Located in a rural area, we didn't survey anyone unless they were beyond 28 weeks of pregnancy, and they had to be 18 years or older, and simply because of our limitations as researchers and being neither of us were bilingual, we restricted to English speaking. So we invited people to take the survey in their traditional setting while waiting in the waiting room for their appointment, and then those who were involved in centering pregnancy were invited to participate at the beginning of their group, and so we access them in those situations. We wanted to control for a number of factors that we knew would possibly influence people's health behavior. And parity was one of them, the number of prior births that they had had. And as you can see, it was skewed toward the low end. Not very many had more than one or two prior births. And to a large proportion in both group, 36% and 48% in the centering pregnancy group was their first pregnancy. It was, we were, you know, going in, we actually aren't from this part of the country, so we didn't know what kind of diversity they, any racial or ethnicity, any, what type of diversity we would see. Turns out we had a group very skewed to just only two groups primarily, both white and black, with only one Hispanic in our entire sample. Income was also skewed to the low end. One problem we saw right off the bat before we even got to analyzing our data was that our data, the centering pregnancy group, tended to be more skewed toward the low end of the income scale, and so that was a concern, and we wanted to make sure we would control for that in our analysis, and we did. So our instrument involved demographic questions that got at those factors I just spoke of a minute ago. We used the Lindgren's Health Practices Questionnaire 2. It's a 34-item self-administered questionnaire designed to measure behaviors related to rest and exercise, illness and injury, prevention, nutritional and dietary intake, avoidance of harmful substances during pregnancy, accessing health care, and information seeking regarding pregnancy and childbirth. It does provide an overall index score. It ranges from 34 to 170, and then individual items can also be analyzed on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the most desirable. You know, the higher the number, a more desirable outcome. We also wanted two other questions asked as part of the study. We wanted to get answers to. We wanted to find out whether they felt like they had changed a number of behaviors, and we gave them a checklist to choose from, but which behaviors did they actually feel like they had changed since they had become involved in their prenatal care? And then also the value. We wanted to get out, and prior research had shown that centering pregnancy, participants in that form of prenatal care had shown greater perceived value for their care. And so we want to confirm and see if, whether that would happen again in our study. So we had 5 research questions. Number one, our primary question, do women receiving care under the centering pregnancy model score better on an index of pregnancy health behavior scale? We expected, going from past research, we would expect that, we would suspect that that would be the case, that they would score higher on this health behavior scale. Number two, are women receiving care under the CP model more likely to gain a recommended amount of weight? Of course, gaining the recommended amount of weight, very predictive of low birth weight for their babies as well, whether they would be, whether they attain the right amount of weight. So we wanted to get at that. Number three, are women receiving care under the CP model less likely to smoke cigarettes? Again, another major risk factor. Number four, do women receiving care under the centering pregnancy model value their prenatal care more? That would be consistent with prior research if that were the case. And then, do women receiving care under the CP model report changing more behaviors? And that was our checklist that I referred to. So we ran a number of statistical analyses. Multiple linear regression was our primary test, and a Wilcox and sum rank test on individual item scores. The results of our study were very contrary to what we expected. They were surprising, and they may be due to some weaknesses in our design. But when we looked at our first research question with the overall index health score, we expected that the centering pregnancy group would have a higher overall score, and that was not the case. When we looked at all the predictive variables, race, income, parity, prenatal care type, they did explain a medium-sized amount of the variance, which is what we had expected. But when income and parity were held at their mean among the reference group, who were the white group, those in centering pregnancy scored nearly 6 points lower, which is, on that scale, a big difference. And so we found that very interesting. Versus those in the traditional prenatal care group. Now that, again, flies in the face of prior findings. And so that's going to beg some further questions and some later research that we may be involved in. Some item comparisons that were of significance. Centering pregnancy had more beneficial scores only on one item, the one that was focused on attendance toward their prenatal visits. They were more compliant in attending, which, you know, that's a major positive. But if you look at the traditional prenatal care, they had higher scores on a number of different items, and they were very surprising. So, reported their concerns to a prenatal care provider, avoided exposure to dangerous substances, discussed their pregnancy with others, and so on. I'm not going to read through all those. I'm low on time. But in any case, very shocking. And again, it made us doubt our design, and there may be an issue there. This is just our model summary. Research question number two, are women receiving Canada under centering pregnancy more likely to seek to gain a recommended amount of weight? We saw no difference. Number three, our smoking question, again, we saw no statistical difference between those groups, which you would, you know, assuming that a group was getting more education, more time spent on these topics in their prenatal care, we would suspect that people may make greater efforts among the centering pregnancy group, and we just didn't see that. Again, I do have a suspicion as to what may have happened in this study in that case, but in terms of valuing their prenatal care, this also was shocking. We didn't expect this because we came in with a, if anything, we tried to be unbiased, but we probably had a pro-centering pregnancy bias. But we found that there was, that the traditional care reported a higher value for their prenatal care versus the centering pregnancy. And we think that's all going at one issue. And there was no statistical difference on our final research question in terms of changing more behaviors. They reported the same. The mean of being around, centering around about a 9 or a 10. So, in summary, we found that our study was not consistent with prior research. Our main explanation, we believe, for what we saw in terms of differences, we're big believers in education and expanded time for health promotion, but we suspect that since we did our research at the same clinic, there was an awareness regarding the existence of both types of prenatal care. And even though we controlled for income as a predictor, we still think that there may have been and this is just informal, we didn't collect data on this, but we suspected that there may have been a kind of a viewpoint that the centering pregnancy, if you noticed in my early table, it showed that it was skewed toward the lower income, a little more so in that group, and we think there may have been some awareness that people may think they were being assigned to a kind of a discount, less than desirable form of prenatal care, even though we think that maybe their experience may have been just as good. So, again, we certainly aren't taking this level of a study as conclusive. It does, we believe, add to the literature in terms of contrary findings to what's been done, and so I think some more extensive studies need to be done, possibly involving multiple clinics. I think that would dispense with that particular issue that we saw. And then, of course, we don't think that the education component of centering pregnancy was a hindrance by any stretch, and we think there's definitely great potential there. So I'll open it up to questions briefly. Yes.
Yes.
It is. Yeah, well, we wanted to actually, since this was a cross-sectional study, we wanted to make sure we got people who had already been involved in it for a while. We didn't, I know many of them got in long before then, but we, if we had gotten people at, say, 8 to 12 weeks, they wouldn't probably have been exposed to the program for very long, and so we wouldn't expect to see much difference there between either group. But you know, what really needs to be done is a pre-post follow-up type of study with as the and involving the traditional group as a control group, possibly. Other questions? Yes. Yes. Our understanding is they were encouraged to attend the centering pregnancy group, but were not restricted to it. But people who, even though they may be encouraged to go that direction, they didn't have to. But those who may have been compliant and decided to go ahead and go along with the recommendation that maybe they should go, maybe later regretted that. Or viewed it as I'm being sent over because I'm low income and you know I don't deserve this other type of care. But that all of that is speculative. We don't really know what their thinking was. One last
Last
question.
question.
Sorry, last question. Yes. Yes. That's right. Now these questions, and we this is a questionnaire we didn't develop, but the questionnaire is aimed at it asks questions in a form that are you making efforts? So it's asking are you making efforts to quit smoking? Instead of it wasn't a are you have you quit smoking or are you not quitting? It was just geared toward whether or not they're making some sort of movement in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know that Philip has a plane to catch, so he's going to be moving on. The next presenter is Dr. Loretta Oh. Her current position is Section Chief of Pediatrics at the Charles B. Wang Community Health Center in New York City. Let me just stop for a second and get you set up here.